Evening all, this is the North East Sitting Forecast. Tonight we have a very special one-off mystery beer episode, just a little something, follow up on what we discussed in the last show. But also, I want to let you know about a special event we've got coming up this Friday. The North East Sitting Forecast is hosting a Meet the Brewer session with Box Social Brewing and Twisted Barrel Ale from Coventry. We have Twisted Barrel bringing with them some of their spectacular beers. Also, Box Social have some of their own beers on the bar as well, but the jewel in the crown is a collaboration brew between the two called Jack the Dipper, and it'll be the first pour of that, so come along, have a taste and come and say hello. So that's Friday the 12th of May from 7 o'clock at the Box Social on 4th Street. See you there. Okie dokes, let's get into this mystery beer. I have in my bag one times mystery beer. Rob doesn't know what we're drinking, do you?
I don't actually know. Oh, there you go.
Tell the listeners what we're drinking.
It's Unhuman Cannonball Triple IPA. And I've no idea how strong that is, Miles, but I know it's going to be very strong, isn't it?
Well, this version is 11%.
11?
Just the 11. Is this the strongest beer?
Yeah, I've never had anything as strong as that.
Good combination.
Cheers. Cool. Oh, I can smell it from here.
It has one or two hops in it. Now, what do you think? Look at that beer. Looking at it. Before you even taste it, what do you think of the colour?
It looks like concentrated orange juice, you know. No frills.
It looks marmalade, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You don't have to get close to smell that
beer. No. It's jumping out of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what are you getting from the aroma?
I can see orange, Miles, when we're talking about marmalade. Smells fruity. Smells oranges.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm getting the same.
I can't help but wonder if that's me just being, sucked in by that look, because it is so dark. It's almost...
Well, it's bound to be linked, isn't it? Because it's what your brain's putting together.
Yeah.
There's a bit of sharpness in the back. A bit of grapefruit.
This is where you impress me, Miles, and I sound proud. Because it smells like a really nice beer, I know that.
Yeah. But... Do you feel intimidated by it?
No, but I'm conscious of the fact that it's a very strong beer. And I wouldn't want to drink too many of them.
No. There have been some people who've questioned 500ml cans of such a strong beer.
Yeah.
Which I understand. Mm-hmm. From the brewery's point of view, the previous bottles were 660ml.
Yeah.
So it's probably just trying to...
They sold them as 660s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were beautiful bottles. For years.
Just if you go to a pub and they've got one of the strong beers, I went recently to one in Newcastle. And it was Wylam's double IPA.
Sticky bud.
In the pub I went to, normally they'll sell things by the pint, but they'd gone for the two thirds. And I didn't know whether that was selling it for in two thirds because it's too expensive for us to put that price up on the board, or is it because they're advocating sensible drinking?
It's probably a bit of both. Mm. Obviously, the cost and the ABV are very close to it. Shall we get stuck in?
Let's. Oh. Ooh, very tasty, isn't it, that? Oh, it's drying me out.
it's as raw as I was hoping it would be. There's an afterwash of sharpness.
Yeah, there is. It puckers you at the end.
And this is the thing, when this beer first came out, the other beers that we were drinking weren't anywhere near as sharp as they are now. Mm. So to have this at that point was just like amazing. It was like, wow.
So what you're saying is that in the past, there was nothing that even came close to this level in terms of sharpness. Is that because there weren't so many double IPAs? And I mean, the same as is that what it is? Is it to do with the...
Definitely. I mean, the last 18 months, double IPAs have been everywhere. Before that, they were rare-ish. And the point where Unhuman Cannonball was first released, a triple IPA was unheard of. Mm. You know, the amount of hops that go into this, just
hops upon hops upon hops upon hops, and they're so fresh and raw.
Mm.
I think they time the brewing of it around a supply of a particular range of hops or whatever to go in.
Mm.
So they're super fresh.
Do they use the same, you know, the same hops every time then? Because this is an annual beer, isn't it? So yeah. Is it every year they've got the same recipe essentially that's going into?
Yes, yeah. Yes. But what I was interested with the talk of Thornbridge, they were talking about how the same hop isn't the same every year. So you get different years, you get different strengths, different perceptions, different slightly different flavours from them, depending on the weather.
Well, that makes sense, because it's the same with, they say, of wine and champagne, and they have a particular vintage, so it's the same principle. It doesn't look, it looks completely flat in the glass, doesn't it? But it's not.
No.
But that's, why is that? Why does it look like that's why it looks so much like orange.
It's
orange juice.
It's. I don't think it's incredibly carbonated. I think some of it's the bitterness, which enhances the little carbonation in there. It just doesn't hold a head really.
Mm. It's really nice. It's. We were speaking earlier about sweetness and you know, I had a beer not so long ago that an IPA, and it felt just bitter. Mm. It didn't have any of the sweetness, and I think it's the sweetness I really like. And then the set off with the hops. I think that this has got that. Clearly, there's enough hops in there to set it off, but you get the sweetness at the start.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
And that's what I like. I like both elements.
Mm. Me too.
But that's a step you've taken there. Is you're starting to identify the two elements. They also do a human cannonball as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the popular things to do at the minute, because they always release human cannonball at the same time, is the cannonball run.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So you'll have a can of cannonball, human cannonball, an unhuman cannonball. And I did think about doing that with you. I didn't know how the rest of the day would pan out. But what I wanted to do was first experience of unhuman cannonball was that shock factor, that wow, I didn't have the human cannonball step. Yeah. So I wanted to sort of recreate that to a certain extent, but we're going to have human cannonballs some of the time. So.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is with these is that, I mean, this is a triple.
Yeah.
Cannonball. To my mind, that's a double. It's 7.4 now double.
No.
Because that's a strong. A strong IPA there.
It is. It's probably the top end of what IPAs generally are.
Yeah.
But that American style IPA generally is around 6 to 7%.
Right.
And that's where I like them.
this is an amazing drink, but it's one that I couldn't drink. Well, clearly you can't drink too many of these.
No.
And actually not just on the strength of the alcohol, I think that it's an intense flavour, but it literally dries my mouth. So you get the sweetness, and then you get the bitterness, and by the time it's gone, I feel like I need a drink of water.
Well, that dry finish draws you in for more, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
That's a powerful beer.
It is, isn't it? It is really nice. It's the best beer I've had in a while, and it's in a can, and, you know, we've had a chat about how I'm avoiding cans and bottles.
What do you think of the can? Is that an attractive can?
I think the other one looks better, doesn't it? It's the double, the human cannonball. It's the green one. Is it? Is it green? Yeah. But yeah, it's all right, isn't it? Is it a magnified version of what's on the cannonball?
Yes.
Yeah.
These characters, Magic Rock, have variations of characters for each of their beers,
right?
Effectively,
I see.
And I think this is the cannonball character.
Yeah.
And he appears on most of the cannonball range.
Yeah.
The bottles used to have really ornate, loads of different characters on. They've gone for this big, bolder character style these days, just as a refresher of their brand. I think it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. I like the, I do like the normal cannonball.
Yeah.
In a way, partly because I think that it looks like a can of Sprite or something. You know what I mean? It's got that kind of look to it. And I think that when you think about what people think of craft beer, people who don't know anything about real ale, if you like, or craft beer, you know, they'll assume, oh, it's all sort of a bit tired looking, and actually it's a really trendy trendy looking design, and I think a lot of the designs are trendy and good looking, but I think that people who aren't in the know about that assume that if you say, oh, I like beer, they assume you're liking
they were the kind of Fosters.
Well, no, actually I'm thinking more, you know, if you, because I think people hopefully understand that you're not saying I like Carling and Foster's, hopefully. So what they then think is, oh, you must like all those, you know, ales then. And when they think that, they'll be thinking about, I don't know, you know, sort of...
Green King IPA.
That looks like, you know, we were joking earlier about things you'd find in like those particular types of pubs, like that. You know, we were talking about that leather thing with like brass horses on it
and Toby jugs
and all that kind of thing. So a bottle that, or you know, a design that suits that kind of pub is what people are thinking of. So when you see these things, they're arty, you know. So
Well, there is that. I get a lot of people will talk to me about, will say that I'm into real ale.
And I
am, but it almost feels like it's more than that. You know, I'm not a big fan of the term craft. Like, it is, it's a lot more nuanced than just real ale. It sounds quite snobbish, but...
No, I agree. Lee Tonmiles, but it is a lovely beer.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a weird drink, you know, that, I think, because it's...
It challenges you. That's the point.
It does, because, I don't know, the end... I have a sip and I think, oh yeah, I've got a feel for what that tastes of. But as I'm working down the glass, it feels like it tastes a bit different. And you know, like a the smell has changed for me now.
That's the alcohol kicking in.
The problem is, we're off to a beer festival shortly.
And yes,
we're going to be trying inferior beers to this.
That is the problem. But I thought this was this was too good an opportunity to miss.
No, I welcome it. No, it's good. To not miss out, Miles, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Part of the reason that they can't these days is that the bottles were so heavy on consumption for them. They weren't able to produce anywhere near as much bottles as they are able to produce cans. So there's more and more of this available this year. I don't think this is an exclusive beer this year. Like, it's not difficult to get hold of. If you want it, it's in pretty much most shops, which is great, you know.
How long will this be around for, do you think?
What, in my house? Oh, no, it won't be in the shops long.
And presumably, because it's a very hoppy beer, it would lose a lot of its quality very soon, would it?
Last year, I got a few bottles, and I drank them sort of over the course of the year, and I had the last of my bottles in, I think it was February this year, which really, it should have lost a lot of its hop intensity. Clearly, it has, but... What was really nice was that the beer behind that was still really, really drinkable, because the bitterness fades but doesn't die, so it still felt balanced.
Yeah,
it was that sort of a nice syrupy, sticky beer. You know, it was an enjoyable beer to have, but it really did stand the test of time. I'm not sure how previous years would have coped leaving them that long. To be honest with you, I forgot I had the bottle, which is why it got left that long. But yeah, it was really, really nice. I don't know whether the cans will last as long, but I didn't get as many this time.
So with these, let's say beers just generally, if you leave a hoppy beer for too long, because much of it's all in the balance, so the sweetness set off with the bitterness, you end up, or can you end up then with a very sweet tasting beer? So if you like sweet beers, which I do quite like the sweetness, it's, you know, I appreciate that it's been balanced, but that balance presumably wanes a little.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because the hops fade, malts don't, so that it just becomes, you hear people talking about malt bombs where all the hops have died, and all you're getting is the malty beer behind it. Some beers are able to cope with that, some beers aren't. So I think that's been a fantastic taste.
I've enjoyed it. Still enjoying it. But it's taking some time. The smell of it still. It's
incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a lot left in my glass, but the aroma.
Yeah, me too. It's a special... It is a special beer. It's not a beer that you find...
It commands respect, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it too drinkable at 11%, you know. But there are more and more beers that are designed to be drinkable. Yeah. And obviously it is drinkable, but you couldn't guzzle loads of.
No.
Awesome. This is one of my favourite beers ever. Has been big beer for me over the years.
I can tell why. Is it? Do you find that it's, you know, if you've tried it, how many years has it been going?
I think this is the fifth year.
Okay. So through the five that you have tried, and I know that it's difficult to tell when you're looking at things a year apart.
Yeah.
What do you think has the quality changed? Is it still as good as it always was? And I appreciate you were saying about the other.
I catching up. I think it's probably better now. It's had a bit more clarity originally, but I mean, clarity not doesn't really matter to me. But does it taste better for having more flavour left in the beer? Because originally it would have been fined, whereas now I think they'll use a centrifuge to try and spin up the particles that don't want to be in there. There was 1 year where I wasn't particularly impressed with it, but every other year it's just been of this quality. It's really good. It's been of that quality at the time, so maybe that quality's improved, so the beer's improved,
but
because it stood so far above other beers around it that it's...
Do you think there's any appetite, or is this any appetite for Magic Rock to produce this more often? And I appreciate that there's the whole hop, you know, getting hold of the amount of hops they'll need to produce that beer, and presumably there are particular types of hop that are only available at certain times of the year, maybe?
I would imagine so.
Do you know if there's an appetite for them to produce this more regularly than they are?
Yes, they would sell more of this if they could produce it. But it, you know, perhaps producing it more often, it would lower its standards. You know, the hops wouldn't be at the right point in the cycle for them to be producing things. Perhaps now is just the perfect time for it to be.
And is it? Is it when we say it's like basically it's an annual release? Is it about the same time every year?
Yeah.
So and that accords with presumably when this particular type of hop is at its.
Yeah,
most available.
Yeah, I think there'll be a delivery. A delivery trigger, won't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always around Easter.
Yeah.
One year we'll have to go to the Dewar launch night at the tap room. A few years ago, I happened to be in London when they used to have the launch night at Craft Beer, and I happened to be in London that day randomly, and so I went along. It was like too good an opportunity to miss, and that was incredible.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know. On the day of launch, they had Human Cannonball there too, which was tasting amazing.
Did you go on a cannonball run, Miles?
I don't think I did. I don't think I had the normal cannonball. I just had a human.
Was that concept, this cannonball run concept, a thing and has been a thing for 5 years? Or is it a new phenomenon?
Cannonball itself was quite difficult to get hold of to drink at home. They used to bottle it, and the bottles were beautiful. You know, one of my greatest beer experiences is the first time I opened a bottle of Cannonball. Sticks vividly in my mind the way the aroma jumped out of that can tonight. That was like that bottle was back then. And they suffered for a lot of years because they were in a small space. They did hand bottling. They didn't produce a lot of bottles, so you didn't sell a lot of bottles, so you just weren't able to get it. Now that they've moved to their new premises and the canning line came in, all of a sudden, cannonballs everywhere. You know, you can get hold of cans in every shop and down the country. But before that point, obviously, the cannonball room wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Can I tell you about my first taste of cannonball? You were present, Miles. Oh. you probably won't remember it, but it was a few years ago on a Christmas do. You and I went on.
Yeah.
And there was myself, you, and a couple of other blokes who we go out for a drink with, and we went to Beer X.
Yes.
In Newcastle.
Who regularly have cannonballs.
Yeah. And he said, oh, I'm going to go for the cannonball. And we all followed suit. Oh, yeah, we'll go. Miles knows about his beer. We'll all go for this thing. And I remember thinking, bloody hell, I'm nuts. What am I doing going for a 7-point-whatever% beer? Like, we all thought that we were like, going for something a bit strong here. So it's funny that, you know, a couple of years down the line, what have you, we're sat here drinking an 11% unhuman cannonball.
Yeah.
But it's also it's nice just in that couple of year period just to think of the fact that to me at that time I'd never heard of Magic Rock, I'd never heard of Cannonball, and now, as you say, Cannonball cans, I have them in my fridge all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah,
it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoyed that.
Very much so. Really nice.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I know me and Rob certainly did. Just a reminder, Friday night, 7 o'clock, the Box Social on 4th Street behind the Central Station. for Twisted Barrel and Box Social collaboration Meet the Brewer session. Going to be a lot of fun, so come along, say hello to Rob and myself, and we'll have a good night. Don't worry if you can't make it. We'll have a special podcast episode going out on Friday night with a chat with both breweries straight after the event, so that you can all hear about what's on the bar, what the beers are like, and what the collaboration brews like, so you can keep an eye out for them in future. So tune in for that. That's Friday night, 12th of May. Cheers.